Books with Aaron, Polly, Wayne, and Andrew. I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
And I'm Andrew.
Well, guys, here we are, the podcast before Christmas, and all through the show, something, something. There you go.
Everybody was
there. You go.
The whole thing's here. Everyone showed up for Christmas dinner.
That's right.
Are you all with your shopping?
Yes.
Oh, I've still got stocking stuff to buy, but other than that.
Yeah.
Have you got everything wrapped?
No,
I haven't even started wrapping.
Yeah. I will be starting wrapping as soon as we're done recording today.
My idea, you know, obviously, you know, we live in Michigan now, but we're going back to Virginia. And, you know, we just also recently moved into the house that we live in now. And so, you know, it's been like weeks of unboxing, unpacking, you know, that kind of thing. And so I tossed out the idea that maybe everyone gets their gifts in gift bags this year instead of boxes and wrapped gifts.
And Jen gave you a hard no, didn't she?
Hard no.
Yeah. I mean, like, you were embarrassed that you ever asked the question.
Yeah.
I have been in the same situation previously. Suzanne shut that shit down immediately.
In our house, is the exact opposite. My wife is like, let's put everything in bags. I'm like, no, we need to wrap.
See, I like wrapping for about two gifts.
Uh-huh.
Once I get beyond two, I'm like,
yeah, I'm kind of done with
from
this.
Leaning over. Uh-huh. Like, this is a lot. There's so many gifts left. How do I combine them into one?
The only good thing about it is that, you know, I sequester myself in my office. I put on Lord of the Rings and I wrap gifts. So, you know, at least I get to spend some quality time with Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, the movie or the soundtrack? Or the story?
The movie. Okay.
Yeah, so it's funny. My mom went to
where you're leaning over.
Well, you know, like on the dining room table, like you're standing over them, like packing.
Why are you standing?
Yeah, don't you have a chair?
I mean, I guess I do. I don't know.
We've just sometimes things are,
well, sometimes gifts are large, right? So it's like you gotta.
That's your problem. You gotta buy smaller gifts.
Buy small stuff. Gotcha.
I mean, sure. Sometimes you have to stand up for a minute. Like if you're doing something, like you got one gift that's a little bigger, but then usually after that one gift, I sit back down to go back to wrapping. I mean, I don't stand there for hours and wrap.
I don't know. I got to think about it.
I know what I'm getting Paul this year for Christmas. Yes, it's a chair. I'm getting you a chair, sir.
Pat. Has your son come home from college yet?
Yeah, he got home this past Monday. We picked him up Monday night at the airport. So he is back, and it's great to have him here. He's knocking out all of the stuff he does while he's home. Like, saw the dentist. He saw his barber. He got his eye doctor coming up. But then we're up in Kansas City. We were up in Kansas City Thursday and going back tomorrow. He's a big volleyball fan. So we're went to see the NCAA championship semifinals Thursday, and then we're going up for the actual championship game tomorrow. So it's been a lot of fun to have him here.
Busy week.
Good.
Who knew that there was an NCAA for volleyball? I didn't. I learned something new today.
Yeah, true.
So wrapping has gotten interesting with my family, because about 5 years ago or so, my mom quit wrapping and started buying these bags that are they basically have string ties on the top that are all Christmas bags. I am the only one that doesn't save these bags at Christmas. So at this point, the rest of the family all has all of these bags that they've saved from things my mom has gotten them over the last 5 years. And they're all reusing and fighting over saving those bags.
My grandmother, you know, we used to always do Christmas night at her house. And so you'd have the whole family there. And she had a rule that if a Christmas gift bag came into her house, it did not leave with you. You know, if it was your Christmas gift, that's great. You take the gift. The gift bag stays here. That just used to crack me up. And then my mother adopted that policy.
I should think that's hilarious. No, you can't leave with that. But it's mine. No.
No, it's mine now.
What's in it is yours.
It is the hostess tax.
Well, you know, we are next time we record, we'll be able to talk about our Christmas, what Santa brought us for Christmas. Hopefully he brings you guys up. I mean, is there something specific you're hoping Santa brings you for Christmas?
Oh, Aaron? I pretty much know something I'm getting. this year, on starting on Black Friday, Lego released the Enterprise D set.
Oh yeah.
Giant, huge set. And I know my wife got it for me with when you get it on Black Friday, you also get a free shuttlecraft with it. A separate set. Nice. And the shuttlecraft comes with Ensign Row minifig.
Very nice. That is awesome.
So that she can, you know, die at the end of it.
Yeah.
You know, as she did in Picard. So, oh, spoilers. you know, I don't need to buy the Enterprise Lego set to build. I just need to buy it, have somebody build it for me so I can, you know, have it in my office. Because I'm not a Lego guy, but I do want the Enterprise D. So. That's what I need. That's what I need. I am hopeful to receive the Warlord, the DC Comics Warlord Omnibus hardcover for Christmas. It comes out this week. God, Warlord, the Mike Grell artwork. Oh my God, it is so sweet. Anyway, it's the first time that they've collected all this stuff. And
right in time for Christmas. Excited.
I know, right? So fingers crossed. And, you know, the great thing is that I've reached that stage in my life that if I don't get it for Christmas, that I will be, you know, ordering it for yourself, immediately thereafter.
Yeah.
So one way or the other, it's coming home.
Yeah. One way or the other, Aaron's getting that Warlord thing in the next week.
That's right.
Yeah, someone will give me an Amazon gift card. So if I don't get something that's on my list, I've got that.
When I was a kid and into comics, you know, my father would always ask for my Christmas list, right? You know, and usually it was when I was very young, it was an index of the Christmas catalog. You know, you can find this on page 453, right? And then when I discovered comics and then also discovered, you know, the direct sales market, you know, the local friendly neighborhood comic shop, I would just say, get me a gift certificate to the comic shop. And my father hated that. He hated giving gift certificates. But you couldn't tell him, okay, then I need, you know, Spider-Man number 57. You know, make sure it's a first printing. And, you know, grading it needs to be above 8, you know. you couldn't do that because he'd come home with, you know, Marvel Tales featuring Spider-Man. You know, he wouldn't understand the difference. But he used to get so irritated with me that it would just say, gift certificate to Lone Star Comics.
I can understand that. I hate giving gift cards as gifts too. I do it sometimes, but I hate giving. I try to avoid giving as much as possible. I'd rather give an actual gift.
I think they're great as stocking stuffers, but you know, like my wife.
It depends on the person, I find. Like some people just want them, right? So it's like, okay, sure.
I know some people want them, but for me, every time I give a gift certificate, I feel like I've failed at Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Like my nephew wants all he wanted was a Steam gift card. I'm like, there's not, like, it's a digital product, right? There's not can't go in and buy. I guess I could go in and buy him a specific game, but I don't know what he likes.
You can buy physical Steam gift cards at like CVS and Walgreens and stuff.
Yeah. Target. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, yeah, I mean Target. Like the games, the what you use the gift money to buy is all digital, right?
Yeah.
So I can't wrap up a Steam game under the thing under the tree, but I can give him a Steam gift card in a little gift card holder. But
and I don't trust digital gifts. You know, like I've gifted people stuff through Comixology before, and I'm never convinced that it's landing. So I always feel like I've got to, hey, did that come across? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just never really, you know, without there being some sort of physical manifestation, I'm not really convinced that it lands.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
So. You know what I want for Christmas, guys?
Your two front teeth?
Also that.
A hippopotamus?
also that.
Reliable also, erections?
Okay, well, the number four on the list. is 6 different Superboys and a reign of Superboys crossover.
Oh my God.
That is not tied to any of the prior things that we were discussing. Oh, goodness.
I feel like tied to number 3.
What?
I think it's tied to number 3.
I don't think it is at all. That's why I wanted to clarify. Not tied to number 3.
Okay. I feel like Reign of Superboys was aimed right at me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited. I mean, all they had to do was say, Reign of Superboys. And I'm like, fuck yeah. I need some of that.
So are you guys aware of the news?
I don't know if I would have been as interested. I don't know if I would have been as interested if it wasn't coming from Dan Slott.
Yeah.
And I had zero interest in Dan Slott writing anything DC. but he, I mean,
his Superman Unlimited has been really entertaining. And I know that we had, you know, sort of mixed feelings about, you know, issue one, but I've been in it since, I guess we're on issue eight now. And I've just really very much enjoyed every issue.
Yeah. And this is the guy that did Spider-Verse, and like Dan Slott's best stories were Spider-Verse and Superior Spider-Man.
Yeah. Like,
well, it's all different, you know, writers. So he's doing, he's still doing Superman Unlimited, which apparently seems like it'll feature John Kent, but you know, you've still got Joshua Williamson writing Superboy Prime. You'll have, you know, Supergirl will feature Supergirl, obviously. And then, you know, Action Comics will feature young Clark Kent, which it has been, but apparently he comes to the present day. So, you know, we're going to get six. And I think there's a Lightning Boy, Thunder Boy. Yeah, Boy Thunder. So, I mean, we're going to get a bunch of Superboys, random Superboys. I'm actually really kind of excited about this crossover. Yeah, obviously, I'm a little bummed that we know how DCKO is going to end. But I guess that's just kind of the nature of solicitations.
Yeah.
Like, it just says Superman is missing. It doesn't say he's dead. But, like, okay, well, so we know what's going to happen at the end of DCKO, which is, you know, okay, so we know who makes it to the end. We know what, we know, you know, at least he'll go off whatever for a while. But pretty excited about how they're following it up. I think Reign of the Superboys is going to be pretty exciting.
Who do you think is going to be facing off against Superman in the final? Because obviously we're
I think it'll be Darkseid. I think it'll be Superman versus Darkseid.
But Darkseid's not in the competition. Now I can see Superman winning the tournament. Then he will go and fight Darkseid.
Yeah, right? Fair. That's
But who's he going to face off in the actual tournament?
Could be Wonder Woman. She hasn't lost out yet, has she?
Correct. I hope it's I'm gonna say who I don't want it to be. I'm really hoping it's not Lex Luthor. I would hate for him to come down to Superman. Bug me.
That's just, and I mean, how many times have you seen Superman fight Lex Luthors? I mean, you know, you want to see something a little less out there. Before we leave the subject of Reign of the Superboys, I just want to say that I will not be satisfied with Reign of the Superboys if Michael Rapaport doesn't show up. You know, because he played Superboy in Copland. So, just saying.
Ah, okay. That's true. Copland. See, now I want to revisit that movie.
I got to tell you, I watched it this week. It hold, number one, it holds up. And I like it's kind of a Christmas movie, you know. Is so, it? Yeah,
but, because everyone in it, every single person in it is famous in some way.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, and you know, it's kind of a Christmas movie because they're searching for Superboy. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the Christ Child, magical Superboy. You know, it's kind of a Christmas movie.
Superman 3: The Search for Superboy.
Yeah. It all comes together. It's all tied together, Paul.
Well, that is your required Christmas viewing. Apparently, is Copland.
It's a great movie.
Love it.
Yeah,
but since you've kind of moved us onto the subject of movies, the Avengers Doomsday teaser trailer is attached to Avatar: Fire and Ash currently. So apparently it has been revealed that there will be four Avengers teasers. I think we talked about this a little bit last week.
We did.
That there will be four Avengers Doomsday teaser trailers. That was a rumor. Apparently, it's kind of been confirmed. One will be attached each week to Avatar, Fire and Ash. This week's teaser trailer has leaked online. Actually, the first two, I think, have both leaked online. But the rumor is that the first one will feature Steve Rogers, the second one will feature Thor, the third one will feature Doctor Doom, and the fourth one will just be everybody. You know, and that was the rumor, but it seems to have been confirmed because this first teaser trailer does, in fact, feature Steve Rogers, Chris Evans, and it very much says Steve Rogers will return. It doesn't say Captain America will return because we already have one with Anthony Mackie. But it's Steve Rogers will return in Avengers Doomsday in a year from now, next Christmas, the big Marvel release. So did any of you watch the leaked teaser trailer?
I haven't watched it, but I've read what's in it. And one of the things I find interesting is Steve Rogers has a child.
Yeah.
So now they have made Iron Man became a father. Steve Rogers became a father. Thor became a father. It feels like that is something that they're doing for the movie. Like, they're building them up to have higher stakes in the world because they have children.
Well, but here's the interesting thing, right? Like, for Steve Rogers to become a father, he was a father in the past.
Right.
Right. So the question is, who is his child? Will they make his child someone already established?
Well, and his child could be, you know, 30 years old, right? I mean, could be even older.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, because when, because him and Peggy, you know, I mean, it could have been, yeah, maybe older at this point. Hard to say. It depends on, you know, when they, you know, how they collapse the timeline. But yeah, I'm very curious how they're, you know, what they're setting up there, because they're clearly setting up something.
Yeah.
But my, you know, my curiosity is it someone we know, or is it going to be someone new?
Well, and if they were still doing the Kang story, one could see something happening in the far flung future with those characters. But yeah, it makes you wonder.
Yeah. But I'm you know, I think Marvel and Disney did themselves a disservice by trying to only have this thing in theaters. Because, like, you know, that stuff leaks. Not only did it leaked before it was even shown in theaters.
Well, and like, Avatar needed the help. You know, that's what kind of makes me crazy.
I'm not going to see Avatar either way. So, yeah,
same.
Yeah. I just want to see the trailer in a version that's not a, you know, horrible quality version.
Yeah.
And Marvel had a bad week because the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer also leaked.
Brand new day.
That teaser trailer leaked as well. It's like, guys, just don't bother. Just drop it online. Like, it's agreed. 2025. It is always going to leak.
Yeah.
So,
and I would live stream it. You know, I mean, I think they ought to have like a big digital debut, and you know, have Robert Downey Jr. host the thing.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you remember, they did that for Avengers. What was the first one? The third movie, Infinity War.
Yeah. Oh, see, you know? I thought you were going to talk about the Avengers Doomsday one, where it was
the cast announcement.
Yeah, that was
That was long
of going across. Yeah. I was going to say, that's what they could have done, is do another hour of going over chairs only at the end to play what you actually want to see.
But you know what? They could have had an hour of interviews, or like, you know, here's the story so far that leads up to, and then had the release of the trailer. I would have watched that. I mean, don't do it at noon on a Thursday.
Right.
Do it, you know, do it at, you know, maybe 8 or 9 p.m. Eastern time or something.
Yep.
You know, at a decent time, in like a Sunday night or something, I would have watched it. But yeah, I mean, it's a little silly the way they're. And to your point, Avatar doesn't need it.
Yeah.
Right. Avatar sells itself. So I'm just kind of surprised.
Yeah. Speaking of Avatar, did you see James Cameron offered to be the second unit director for Godzilla Minus One?
No.
I didn't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, he really wants to be involved in Minus One. And he's like, happy to be your second unit. I'm like, what? You take that offer. You take that offer. Yeah. Yes, yeah. Jim Cameron, come.
Well, do you hear he's like, you know, because he's now done 3 Avatar movies, but he had a plan, I think, for 6, right? Or 5 or something like that. And he's like, well, you know, but this one has a really good ending. So if it doesn't make money, you know, then I'll make other things. And he's starting to talk about other things. I'm like, maybe now he's got a little buyer's remorse, and he's like, I think I'm good.
Let me try something else. I hope that's the case, because I think he's a fantastic filmmaker. I could care less about Avatar.
You know, I find myself thinking the same until I'm actually in the movie theater watching it, because I really could give a shit about Avatar 2, but we went and saw it anyway, and I really loved it. I was like, this was damn good.
I think Avatar is a great screensaver. I mean, you know, it's beautiful on my television, and I just turn the volume down and let it run so I can look at these pretty images. You know, it's sort of like that Planet Earth documentary series. You know, I'm just like, you know, I really could care less about any of these characters or any of the plot, but boy, isn't that pretty to look at. You know, it's rather like putting on the, Yule log YouTube, you know, to just watch the video of the fireplace burning.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I can't speak for the plot of any of them after the first one, but for as far as the first one, the plot was done better in other movies.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're meant to be like the most original plot lines, but they're just kind of well-made movies is what I would say. I haven't seen the third one yet, but
I understand the spectacle part of Avatar. What I do not understand about it is why it's such a colossal hit. I completely don't understand it. I understand, you know, why Star Wars is a hit and why Jurassic Park is a hit, you know, in those movies, because it all kind of comes together. It's both a spectacular vision and execution, as well as direction, writing, acting. I mean, all these things come together, and I just don't get it about Avatar. I just don't. It's completely over my head.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's enough of my old man bitching about Avatar.
Get off my lawn.
Get out of here with your yah-yah rock and roll.
Well, you know, we're talking about James Cameron, and James Cameron directed Aliens.
Uh-huh.
Great movie. You know, which is actually a good segue into this week's Alien versus Captain America crossover. You know, issue 2 came out this week, so we got caught up on issues 1 and 2.
That's
well, Aaron and I did.
Yep.
What do you think of it, Aaron?
I love that it's set in an alternate World War II, you know? There are parts of it that I'm like, you know, that's not surprising, that's not scary, you know, just, you know, some of the retread stuff from Alien, you know, chest bursting and hibernation and whatnot, and putting your head over the opening egg, you know, all of that kind of stuff is terrifying in the movies. I don't think it works well in the comic. The thing that I think works well in the comic are the things that are new, you know, like Red Skull, you know, employing the xenomorphs to, you know, rebalance the outcome of the war. I think that stuff is great. I want to see more Baron von Strucker. I want to see more Red Skull. It bothers me that we're 2 issues in and we just haven't had near enough of the, you know, wild machinations of those guys. And I do have one other complaint. This is my most strenuous complaint. And longtime listeners of the show will know that influence the character representation in the comics. And the illustration of Red Skull as he appears in the Captain America films just really bugs me. I like big, crazy brow Jack Kirby Red Skull. I'm not a fan of the, you know, MCU version of the Red Skull. So that's my only gripe. But otherwise, I'm really enjoying the series.
Yeah, I think it's very imaginative. You know, Frank Thierry is the writer on the book, and I like how they have found a way to kind of tie these characters together in a way that feels a little bit natural, right? You know, so this is Captain America. It's set during World War II. You know, you've got the Howling Commandos for the most part. You know, they don't make it very long, which it always surprises me when I read these books, because I'm like, oh. Okay, so clearly an alternate reality. You know, when people, when bodies start flying, because you know, some of these Howling Commandos meet a pretty horrible end.
Well, and Dum Dum Dugan, I mean, he's just out. Yeah. You know, and you're like, man, I like Dum Dum. What are you doing? Yeah. You know, but it is an alien story, so you know it's gonna happen.
Yeah, and but I think I appreciate that, like, you know, as a fan of Captain America and these characters. You know, the emotional, because like there is no, like, it relies on your preconceived notions and attachment to these characters. So when they die, you're sad about Dum Dum Dugan, but you're not sad about Dum Dum Dugan if you did not know who that character was. Like, you know, you're not getting enough meat on the bone in this series to have cared when he died. But because we know who he is, I think helps. You know, that attachment is there. I am enjoying the book, and I think it's very imaginative. I think, you know, how they brought in Captain Marvel at the end of issue 2. Curious to see where that goes.
It's a nice touch. And that the Kree are, you know, longtime enemies of the Xenomorphs. I liked the inhuman connection to the Xenomorphs as well. I think they were doing a fantastic job of embedding the alien story within what we know about the Marvel Universe. I feel like they are not, this is not a story for the long term. I'd love them to just create a singular alien continuity within Marvel.
I would too.
And so that it carries on, because, you know, this feels like a limited series, and, you know, you're going to have some sort of dire outcome at the end of this thing, a la horror movie. But I'd love to see something that is more long, you know, either a maxi series or regular ongoing series where, you know, you can see how, you know, the presence of the Xenomorph impacts Marvel history. Because, like, this doesn't connect to the Avengers versus Alien in any way, shape, or form, right? So, anyway, that's what I wish that we do.
Yeah, and the one thing that I'll say is the Predator series do that, right? So, like, Predator versus Wolverine, then Black Panther, then Spider-Man, then it goes into Predator versus the Marvel Universe. Those have tied together, but the Alien ones have definitely been their own individual storylines.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I've loved the Predator series, I may go back and do the Predator versus Black Panther, because I didn't read that one.
I didn't care for the first issue, so I didn't finish with it, but I'll give it another shot now that I've enjoyed the rest of them.
My thought is that I loved all the others.
Yeah, I'm going to pick up all of those in Comixology sales because they usually do a pretty good sale on those.
Yeah.
But
For a Christmas episode of Funny Books, we're talking about an awfully lot of violent things.
So we're going to brighten it up here, are we? Is that what we're going to do?
Let's talk about a more cheery book. Exquisite Corpses. Yeah.
Yeah, a family book.
That's right.
Good for the whole family. Read it to your children Christmas Eve night.
I mean, you have the family does center prominently in this book with Audrey trying to reunite with her child. So, I mean, it's almost like the Christ child. She is searching for her son.
Yeah.
It's a theme.
Carolina trying to talk to Lady Carolina.
Yeah. Illegally. Fair. Yeah. Yeah. Worried about her sister.
So we haven't actually talked about Exquisite Corpses in a little bit because a number of us had to get caught up on it. But now we're all caught up through issue 8.
Yeah, issue 8 came out this past week. 7 contestants dead, 5 remain, and 5 more issues to go. So I've continued to enjoy this book quite a bit. How about the rest of you?
I love
this book.
It is the first book I read every week when it comes out. They really seem to have cranked it up in the last couple issues. Like, it was a slow burn to start from a number of people dead standpoint. And now bodies are just dropping left and right.
And I suppose we should pause here and just say, spoilers.
Right. Yeah. Craig, we're definitely going to spoil. If you're not caught up, don't listen. Because
we're going to talk about it. Stunned this week. Stunned. That Lone Gunman died as early as he did.
I know.
It was too, because for me, I was convinced that the main characters of the series were Lone Gunman and Massachusetts. Mm-hmm. Like that she was the main character of the 13 and that he was the main character for the actual competition. I expected him in the finale. Mm-hmm. So him going out was just a complete and utter shock for me.
Well, I don't think Massachusetts is out yet. The way she had that kind of that last line of this issue, she's like, "Oh, I lose," as she sits there with her bottle of whiskey. I'm like, I don't think she's done yet.
Yeah, but, no, she's definitely not.
It was shocking to see Lone Gunman, but somewhat mitigated by the fact that he passed along, his spiritual successor to Laura, handing off his weapon and his knowledge and his mask to her. So I think we're going to see some more Laura here.
And we alluded to it, but I absolutely love that moment of Carolina on the toilet trying to call her sister, trying to cheat just to get word. It's like there hasn't been enough for me showing the emotion from her that her sister is the one out there who could be killed at any point.
Yeah, like, she's not doing good. Like,
no, she can't let that be seen out in front of everyone else. But I want to see more of that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, of the characters that are still around, not who's going
to
win.
Do you want me to read them off here?
Sure. Yeah, but the question is, of those characters still around, I don't want to know who you think is going to win. I want to know who your favorite of these guys is.
So we've got Rascal Randy. Rascal Randy. We've got Fox Mask Killer. We've got Recluse. We have Lady Carolina. And we have Pretty Boy, who is not quite so pretty anymore. So for me,
he's got inner beauty.
I don't think he sees the inner beauty in people based on his character arc so far, but maybe he'll have to learn now. I think out of those five, for me, my favorite, it's a little of a Homer choice, I think, but my favorite is Fox Mask Killer at this point.
Yeah, I think same.
I really want to see Fox Mask Killer versus Rascal Randy. I think that's going to be an interesting fight. I don't really have any opinion on Recluse. Just not a standout. I like Recluse
in the fact that he was smart enough to go up and trap these equipment caches ahead of time. He's very kind of methodical and just been setting traps. I like that aspect about him. But because he's been hidden so much, you're right. We haven't really seen a lot of him.
We don't get the personality. I think for me, my favorite at this point is Lady Carolina. Mm-hmm. I just love this aspect that she is one of the 13 that has put herself into this game.
Into harm's way. Yeah.
For the benefit of those not reading Exquisite Corpses, describe Lady Carolina.
So the 13 are the rich families that run America. Lady Carolina is one of these 13. She is the sister of Carolina, because all of them are named for the states that they represented. She was one of them, but she trained herself to go into the game and fight. They couldn't get the person they wanted to get, so she personally put herself into the game. Came in at one point she's riding a horse with her gun in hand, and it's just, I like that aspect of she's an outsider that has trained herself to come into the game.
Yeah, and she faced off against Fox Mask Killer earlier in the series with a somewhat indeterminate end, although her very fancy crossbow was destroyed in the process. So,
But she has not been, she's not crossed off the list, so she's clearly still kicking.
She is, yes. Yeah, she's,
Like at least two of our hosts on this call, I very much enjoy the Fox Mask Killer.
Yes.
It does. I feel like, that makes her super vulnerable. And so
she was on the cover of issue one. It feels like a feint. Like something.
Yeah, no. And I feel like she won't make it to the final round. I mean, that's just my prediction is that she's going to go before that happens. And I mean, it was, this last issue was really rough on her. The knife that she takes through the hand, I was like, I really, really like her. And really the matchup that I want to see, which, we're going to get next issue, is her versus Rascal Randy. I'm really looking forward to that.
That's the fight I want to see, the two of them going.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that Paul didn't pick Rascal Randy as his favorite.
I do like Rascal Randy. I do, but because he's coming up against, he's going to come up against Fox Mask, I kind of lean towards Fox Mask.
The good news for me is that no matter how the next issue ends, how the next round goes, I'm going to be happy with at least one of the people in the final round, because it'll either be Rascal Randy or Fox Mask Killer, and I really enjoy both of those. I just think they're both really cool designs. Whereas I like the Fox Mask Killer as a character, right? I mean, I actually enjoy who that character is. I just think Rascal Randy is hilarious and cool.
It is possible that Recluse could beat Fox Mask Killer and then take Rascal Randy.
It's possible, but I don't think so. And I'd like to know more, because the implication is that 5 years ago, when Carolina couldn't feel the killer, it was because they were trying to get Fox Mask to be their champion, and they were failed at it. So I'm very curious about how, who was it? Was it New York this time around who actually got her to represent them? I'm curious about how they convinced the Fox to be their champion this time around.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at that point, it would make it a more interesting finale to be Lady Carolina versus Fox Mask Killer.
Yeah.
The rematch.
The killer that they could not recruit makes it to the finale with the person who went in basically pissed off that they couldn't recruit the killer they wanted 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, there's some more personal connection between Carolina and Fox Mask too, like prior to 5 years ago, if there was some sort of relationship there.
And we've not really talked about this, but there is a chaos element in the matchups, in that the city is fighting back. They really largely view the playground, which is to say that the town where the matchups are occurring, as just sort of, collateral damage, and that everybody in the town is just destined to die in this event. Well, when Lone Gunman is killed, he passes on his knowledge and weapon to the paramedic driver, the ambulance driver, who, you know, we've been following throughout the book and who was warned by the sheriff in issue one to get out of town. And, you know, she is kind of picking it up and, you know, plans to, you know, take it to the 13. And so, you know, we're going to see, I don't know if they'll adjust the board, but you know, she's going to be throwing a little bit of chaos into the final rounds, and I'm here for it. And, you know, we're seeing some of the other characters, you know, stand up, you know, we saw, right in the same issue where Gamer Kid was killed, which is, I think, the most satisfying kill. Because that little fucker, he had to go. He had to go. But, you know, we see, you know, we find the missing kid, and, you know, the kid gets, it's, I can't remember the other guy's name, but Craig dies protecting Jason. And, you know, he gets reunited with...
Zavi.
Thank you, Zavi, who is Craig's partner. Anyway, I love this. I love this story. And, you know, I read the last five issues back to back to back. And it's really strong reading these in one sitting. And I'm looking forward to being able to go back once the thing's done and reading from issue. Because, you know, when things are separated by several weeks, you kind of forget some of the threads.
No, you're right. I would like to then reread this from the beginning. Maybe when issue 9 comes out, I'll do that.
Yeah.
Same.
It's just awfully good.
And you're pointing out, Aaron, that the town's fighting back. The pyromaniac, was it Layla Blaze?
Yeah.
Yep.
Her final death isn't to one of the other killers.
Right.
Stumbles out. You know, out of the fire to get an axe to the face from a civilian.
And I think Audrey, we have to emphasize that. Axe to the face!
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, two of the 12 killers were taken out by civilians. There was Layla by Audrey that Wayne pointed out. But then Nurse Pete was killed by Laura at the hospital earlier on, too.
Yeah.
I love that.
But can I point out my least favorite killer real quick is Slater, because Slater is a moron.
Remind me Slater.
Like he was the explosives guy that became infatuated with Layla Blaze right up until he went in
the first
him.
Round, right?
No, he went, I mean, it was like two issues ago he died. It was before, it was when they were at the nightclub, before Layla went down to the party, I forget what they call it, the hollow or the pit, the wherever.
The pit.
But he's the one who she pushed him off the balcony, and he fell into lines that Recluse had left, and got sliced all up and died. But he's supposed to be this, you know, professional demolitions expert, and just you know, falls in lust or love, whatever, with Layla, and then dies horribly because he's a moron.
You know, I think it would be kind of interesting if they took an issue, if they want us to care about Recluse, take an issue to go back and show everything that, you know, has been happening while everyone else was fighting.
Yes, that's a good idea. Yeah, just show his point of view and how he's intersected with everything while staying out of sight.
Yeah,
that's a good that's a great idea.
Then I would be far more interested in it.
Agreed. And maybe that's the plan. I mean, yeah, we have five issues left.
Yeah. Hearing Wayne say that, it wouldn't surprise me to see that.
That'd be awesome. Yeah. I'm still loving it.
James Tynion IV, I think, has written a really interesting story for something that could have just been very formulaic. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. All building up to a game.
Yep. Very exciting.
And they inspired DC. And they inspired DCKO. I mean,
clearly, yeah.
Clearly, hey, DCKO was a response to Exquisite Corpses.
That's right. Hey, Paul.
Clearly. Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Well, next week is Christmas week, and surprisingly, a lot of releases, especially from DC Comics. So we get the final battle against Ra's al Ghul in Absolute Superman number 14. We also get the first meeting of two Absolute heroes in Absolute Wonder Woman issue 15, which is going to feature Absolute Batman crossing over. And that crosses over into Absolute Batman number 16. And this is a story about how Batman is looking to Wonder Woman to help him cure what has happened to his friend Waylon in the pages of Absolute Batman. Also from DC Comics, we get a couple of DC KO books, including Superman number 33, which features Lex Luthor versus the Demon. DC KO tie-in Justice League Unlimited, issue 14, which features the continuation of the Terrific 10 storyline. We also get the one-shot of DC KO Red Hood versus Joker. This is the final, this is round eight, the final of the, these All Fight Month books from Scott Snyder, Joshua Williamson, and Dustin Nguyen.
That one might very well be the only KO book that I buy, just because that's a fight I want to see.
And that's how they're going to suck him in.
Yep, that's how they get
you. Next thing you know, Wayne's buying the whole thing.
Yep.
With the variant covers. I mean, he's getting all the different iterations. Look, Paul, it's a hollow foil KO.
Well, we also get one more DC KO book, which is The Flash versus Green Lantern, which is Guy Gardner versus Alan Scott. No, not Alan Scott. Alan Scott Flash, right? No, Jay Garrick. Who was the first Garrick. Flash?
Yeah.
Jay Garrick.
Jay Garrick.
Jay Garrick.
Yeah, Jay Garrick Flash versus Guy Gardner, Green Lantern. We also get the final issue of Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong 2, issue 6.
Very exciting.
I believe that's the final issue.
That means I can buy it collected soon. I'm excited.
Yeah. We get Event Horizon, Dark's Descent, issue 4, which we have really been enjoying. Nice and creepy series.
Do we know how many issues this is?
I don't. I think it's 6. That sounds right to me.
Okay.
But I honestly don't know. I'm actually behind an issue or two, so I couldn't tell you. But very much looking forward. You know, I mean, it's 5-issue miniseries.
Oh, coming up. Gotcha.
Yep. From Image Comics, we have the Quintesson War starting in Void Rivals issue 25. So that's another big Energon universe storyline. And from Marvel Comics, we have the Will of Doom, which is kind of your, the One World Under Doom epilogue book.
Yeah, which I don't think we ever talked about the finale of that one, Paul.
We did not. But maybe we'll talk about it next week when we talk about the Will of Doom. Well, I'm going to get the Will of Doom. So
same here.
I was looking at it. I think I'm kind of interested in it. I've not read the prior Doom series, the one that just ended. But I'm interested.
One World Under Doom.
Yeah. Yeah. I read the first issue. Didn't care for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was inconsistent. That's the one thing I'll say, but we'll talk about it.
So, well, hey, we want to know what Santa's bringing you for Christmas. We also, hey, just a reminder, the new year's coming, and that can only mean that the Funny Book Awards are going to be shortly thereafter. So we want to know what you're thinking about that, too. What are your favorite comics of the year? What are your favorite TV shows? Let us know. Give us a shout, ideology.com. If we use your comments on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, IOM Geek on Facebook, Instagram, and X.
What a deal. Well, guys, Merry Christmas. I hope your holidays are fantastic and that Santa brings you all the things.
Well, we will find out next week. Bye, everybody.
Ho, ho, ho.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.